Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
This week, we are marking 100 years since the end of the First World War. The final weeks of conflict saw the death of Walter Mabbutt. Private Mabbutt wrote letters home to his sister, Edie. Her grandson is Cambridge 105 radio folk presenter Les Ray, alongside Deirdre Murphy, part of the band Red Velvet. And they're here with us in the studio this morning. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Good morning to both of you. Wrong end of the day, really, for you, Les.
Yes, yes. And my evening voice is I can't use it. I have to use my morning voice, which is nowhere near as good. Much croakier.
Deirdre, how are you in the mornings? Good to see you, by the way.
I'm okay in the mornings. I'm used to getting up really early, so yeah. Apart from having a really bad cold.
Oh, dear.
Join the millions.
So give us a little bit of a background, then, to all of this. The first thing which actually strikes me as if a death, well, any death, really, but as if a death in the First World War wasn't bad enough. This was in the final weeks.
That's right, yes, just 3 weeks before the end of the war. Walter was only called up in June of 1918.
How old was he?
He was 19 when he died, so right. he wasn't the very youngest, but he was still very, very young. And I kind of felt I knew him a little bit, because when I was growing up, I would often visit my grandma, who lived just down the road from where we lived, and she would always talk about her grandma, about her brother. And she missed him terribly. Mm. She never really got over it, I don't think.
And how old was she at that time?
She was born in 1907, so right. She was 11 years old when he died. And he was her big brother, you know, so... and she obviously adored him.
And he wrote... It's letter writing these days. It's all the sort of emails and texting and ever. It kind of feels like, but a lost art. But back then, it's what you did. You wrote a letter, and sometimes, well, I guess in this case, it might take a couple of weeks before that letter reached its destination.
Exactly. Yes, that's very true. If I go a bit further ahead in the story, because it'll explain something that I need to clarify. My grandma's house burned down in 1969. In this period, actually, and because it was bonfire night, and some kids were letting off fireworks, one caught in the thatch roof, and the house was gutted. So that was obviously a big trauma for the family, and the house had to be cleared as quickly as possible to save as many as of my grandparents' possessions as could be saved. Years went by, and my mum was looking around in the attic, and she came upon this box, in which were these letters from Walter, which we knew nothing about. My grandma had since passed away, a few years earlier. And then, you know, all this 30 or so letters. And Mum and I read through them, very, very moving indeed. And for some reason, my mum separated out the letters and the envelopes. And not all the letters had the dates on them. So it was quite a challenge to actually put them together in sequential order. And I haven't fully succeeded in doing that, but thankfully a lot of the letters were dated. So we could you could follow the progression from when he arrived. He went to Northampton to sign up, or whatever the term is, and...
I guess he was being conscripted, wouldn't he?
Exactly.
Presumably he had no say in that.
No, I don't think he did, no. No, I don't think he wanted to go at all, and that becomes very clear. Mm-hmm. And from Northampton he was transferred to Norfolk Regiment Felixstowe Barracks, which is where he spent a couple of months.
Norfolk Regiment Felixstowe Barracks, okay, I guess, okay. Yeah. Sort of makes sense in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I mean, he was from Northamptonshire, ended up in Norfolk Regiment, and was trained at Felixstowe Barracks.
Right.
So all very, very peculiar. And the moving thing, I think, about the letters from Felixstowe Barracks is that he's trying to be incredibly upbeat, probably because he doesn't want to worry his sister and his mum, who he's writing to. Despite, you know, the fact that horrible things were happening, people were dying from the influenza, weren't they? People being... court-martialed, people were committing suicide, and gas drills were, you know, all these horrible things as well. And that was even before they actually came to the front. You know, this was just the general atmosphere was horrific, I think.
We'll hear the song after. Mm, we'll do that after the headlines at 8:30. Deirdre, I just wanted to ask you actually, because you sort of come at this from a slightly different angle. You almost, I suppose, you almost come to it via the song as much as anything else. How do you feel when you, I've seen a sing the lyrics?
Well, I don't sing.
Okay.
I actually read the letter.
Okay.
Which is a very, very moving letter, because it was actually authentic and original. So, it's quite emotional. But done in a very sort of almost military fashion. Mm. At least that's how I perceive it, and that's how I deliver it.
Did you, when you did it, have you changed the delivery it stays, you recorded it and it's available as a release, but initially did you think, maybe we'll do this way and we'll,
being quite honest,
that word?
Before we went into the studio, I did think a lot about how I was going to deliver this part of it, and I don't think I've altered it incredibly much.
No, I don't think you have.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. Cambridge 105 Radio.
Liz Ray and Deirdre Murphy are still here from Red Velvet, and we're going to hear the song now. But before we do, Liz, what took you really from the letters which were sent to your grandmother as a girl, as we heard of 11, by her brother in the army? What took it from letters into song, or to song and verse, I suppose, really?
Well, in the first instance, I thought, well, we need to do something with these letters. So the first thing I did was basically transcribe them so that they're available, you know, in Word files and so on.
Yeah. And into and order as well. You said they were somewhat muddled up because of the lack of envelopes for many of them.
Yeah. Having done that, you know, I was thinking maybe writing something larger about them, maybe annotating them in some way and doing some background research. But as quite often happens, you know, being a songwriter, things often turn into songs. And I thought, well, this could well become a song, partly because there was a certain repetition in the letters. The beginnings of the letters were very much along the same lines. And so I thought, well, that would provide an introduction to each verse. And once I started working on it, sometimes things gained their own momentum and things started to fit into place very well. I thought the various big themes that Walter discussed, I was able to put together in a form that kind of had a rhyme and a meter. Mm-hmm. And then there was the question of the final letter, which was from his comrade in arms, Lance Corporal Mandeville, which is very, very moving, and which Deirdre reads, as you'll hear shortly, which I didn't want to change at all, because it's just an incredible piece of writing, and it took, you know, incredible, you know, sensitivity and courage to write it, didn't it? And stoicism, which you... Yeah. Deirdre expresses very well, too.
OK, well, look, let's take a lesson.
Here it is, Letters from Walter. Felix Stowe Barracks, my dear sister Edie, I hope these words find you as well as they leave me. Just a few lines to thank you for your parcel and letter, and to hope that your favourite bantam is better. They've taken our hut for the men. Don't send me potatoes, the last ones were blue. A disturbance this morning, you may well have read. Chap in the next hut shot himself in the head. You'd laugh at the parcel smashed up like the other. I think that's all this time, love Walter, your brother. Stowe Barracks, my dear sister Edie, hope these words find you as well as they leave me. Just a few lines to thank you for your parcel and letter. hoping that Dad's poorly eye is soon better. They may send us to Egypt or maybe to Ireland. Some Zeps have been over, the new lads were frightened. You'll be gleaning the corn, it's good that you're working. I can't send any money, I've nothing left over. That's all for this time, love all to your brother. Felix Stowe Barracks, dear mother and Edie, I hope these words find you as well as they leave me. Just a few lines to thank you for your parcels and letters. There's rat and cat pie on our menu for dinner. One chap got court-martialed and two got a medal. We've been doing our gas drills, I feel sick as the devil.
Then a letter, undated, as the Allies advanced.
Just a few lines to tell you, we've landed in France. Nice trip on the fish pond, with no spot to bother. But I must leave off now, dear Edie and mother.
Dear Mrs. Mabbott, although I do not know you personally, I consider it my duty as your son's comrade to write these few lines of condolence. I missed Walter on that awful night between the 22nd and the 23rd, and in the morning I had a long search for him. I looked among the casualties and made extensive inquiries, but I could not find any trace of him whatever. I was with him on the 21st and we stood talking together before we went up the line. We were then parted. I do not suppose that anything I can say will help you in your great sorrow, but I can assure you that during Walter's army life, he was all that is good and true. He and I were firm friends, and I often shared his fags and he mine. And it is with sincere regret I write this letter, and I deplore the fact that there is occasion to do so. I remain yours sincerely, Lance Corporal W. L. Manderville.
Thank you very much. That has been released, hasn't it, as well, commercially now?
It has, yes. It's available as a single. As a CD, as a physical CD, or as a download, and all the proceeds from the sale of the CD go to the Riders Branch of the Royal British Legion.
The Riders Branch. Now, where is that?
The Riders Branch are a branch of the British Legion, which have sub-branches, if you like, all over the country in the various different regions, and they are, as the name suggests, riders, motorbike riders, former servicemen and women. And what they do is they travel around the country organising and supporting commemorative events about the fallen in world wars and world conflicts, and particularly in recent years, World War One. And I encountered them last year at an event for another relative who died in Northamptonshire. Mm. And that's when I thought that we could do something along these lines. Mm. And it's particularly poignant, I think, because my grandmother suffered from agoraphobia and was never really able to go out, certainly for the last 20 years of her life. But in her youth, I have a photograph of her riding a bike. She rode a motorbike, so it's kind of it seems to be appropriate.
Yeah.
So that's why it's the Riders Branch, and they all the work that they do is totally self-financed. All the money they raise is for the Poppy Appeal. So we thought it would be a good idea to provide them with some extra funds to help them in what they do.
Ah, sounds good. And Idri, Red Velvet, the rest of you, were you, Les, and the other three members? Three members. Where can we see you next? Where are you playing?
Well, we haven't got any planned gigs until New Year's Eve.
That's mainly because we're going to be in the studio later this month. We're recording a new EP, a 5-track EP.
Third album.
Yeah. So we've been rehearsing furiously to be ready for that. That's why we haven't got many dates to perform in the diary.
So I'm sure you'll be performing after that, and looking forward to the release of the album as well.
Mm. Thank you.
Yes, we are too, aren't we? We really can't wait. It's really exciting to go into the studio.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. That was fantastic.
To speak to us in the play this morning.
Could I just mention one last thing?
Go ahead, Les.
if people would like to purchase the CD, as I say, all the proceeds do go to the Writers' Branch of the Royal British Legion. It's available from our label's website. It's Clunk and Rattle.
Clunk and Rattle.
And the web address is clunkandrattle.com. £6.10. £5
plus... £6.10? What kind of price is £6.10,
£5 plus £1.10 postage and packing.
Oh, I see. That's kind of how it works. I might have to fetch a parcel later. It's very annoying. Les, Deirdre, thank you very much indeed. The track is called Letters from Walter. It's 8:42, and Lucy's going to do the travel.
Cambridge 105 Radio.